Full Nelson Promotions, Max Muscle Sports Nutrition, and Cadillac Jack Saloon presents an action-packed night of professional and amateur mixed martial arts live cage fighting. Saturday, January 4th at 7 p.m. at the Pendleton Convention Center. All ages are welcome. See Pendleton's own Jason Lambert of Redneck Militia in the main event. Weigh-ins are January 3rd at 6 p.m. at Cadillac Jack's with a 21 and over after party following that Saturday night fight. Get your tickets now at Cadillac Jack's on 17th and Immigrant in Pendleton.
It's time for the Rogue Show. Let's start off by giving a shout-out to our kick-ass sponsors, the Clock Tower Pub, the number one sports bar in all of Oregon, man. You guys are anywhere near it, hit it up, man. They've got it all. Also, MMAMadhouse.com. Check them out for all your MMA news. Vision Smoke Shop, whether you need a piece for your pocket or to fill your whole shop, hit up visionsmokes.com. Also, Clinch Custom Mouth Guards, the best mouth guards in the business. Find them at getclinch.com. Big shout-out to Ink Tank Tattoo. Follow Greg at Greg at Ink Tank on Twitter. Jax Media, enough said right there. You guys see their work. They're good folks. Also, check out Go Fight Live TV, man. We love those guys. They got the best streams you can get anywhere. Also, I want to give a big shout-out to Revolver MMA. Javier and the boys, kill it. You guys go check out his killer rash guards T-shirts. Dude, he's doing work all across the country. Here he's moving overseas with some of his deals. Also, our newest sponsor to come on board, the Rogue Show, rearnakedsmoke.net. You guys have heard us talk about these guys for a long time. Follow them at RNSMMA on Twitter. Check them out. They have great selection of video, fight videos from around the world and links. Tonight, you guys know how we do it every single Friday night. It's an open call line. It's a panel from pro fighters to other media outlets and everything in between. Tonight, like always, we got Lapaki, my partner in crime. We have got Miss Kari. She is one of the badass writers for MMAMadhouse.com. She's going to be on live with us tonight. Also, we got the man himself from Bluegrass MMA. Gary's with us. How you doing tonight, brother?
Man, I'm doing great.
Well, I've got you and Kari on. Clinch Custom Mouth Guards and Lapaki are on with us. They're just talking right now. They'll be mouthing off in a minute. I've been waiting to have you on, brother. We love what you do at Bluegrass MMA. We love working with you guys out there. You guys are killing it. And then, obviously, Miss Kari, same region of the country. You know, thank you for joining us tonight, brother, and Miss Kari.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Well, you know, we don't get a chance to sit down with you guys that often. And, you know, the thing I think worked out the best is it's kind of the end of the year. This is a show that our sponsors love for us to be open and honest. And, you know, this is a good time tonight because we're going to be able to talk about any subject you guys want to talk about. I do want to talk a little bit with Bluegrass about, you know, your company. Why don't you, since it's your first time on the show, got a lot of fans who listen regularly, why don't you tell them a little bit about yourself and your company?
What's going on, bro?
What's up?
Not much, man. What's cracking out that way?
Man, it's early in the morning here in Kentucky, or late at night, however you guys see it. But I appreciate the invite, man. I've listened. I'll be honest. I listen on Wednesdays, on Thursdays, on Fridays. It's kind of insane the stuff you guys put out. But Bluegrass MMA's been around almost 3 years, and we, you know, we started just in Kentucky and then kind of branched out, you know, like spiderwebbed through the Ohio Valley region, Indiana, Ohio, Tennessee, Pennsylvania. So, you know, there's three of us, and we try to do as much as we can with as much as we've got, but it's all about, for us, the fighters. You know, we love the promoters and the clothing companies and the gyms and all that, but what the fighters are doing, because without them, there would be none of us.
I agree with that. So everybody knows, Kane's joined us. He's been a regular on the show in the past, a big fan of MMA, also involved in it himself. Welcome to the show, Killer.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, dude, we're just kind of introducing some of the new people to it. Bluegrass MMA, owner Gary's with us tonight. Great company, somebody you should definitely check out. And then one of our writers and reporters from the Midwest, Miss Kari, is with us. You know, we've had a pretty crazy year. I'd like to know what you guys, especially Bluegrass, since the first time on the show, what do you think about this year as a whole in MMA? Good, bad, all the fights, everything. What do you think of this year?
Man, it's a mixed bag. We, like in our region, Kentucky went from being like third in the country in the number of events to we'll still be in the top 20, but we went from, you know, 80 events a year to like 42 this year. And it seems like the saturation has kind of hurt us. You know, a lot of promoters want to come out and throw shows, but they lose some money and then it's gone. But what's happened is, you know, that competition has kind of brought the cream of the crop out for everybody. So we've seen some great shows. The true fighters are out there getting it done in there. And it's been... No, it's like everything else, man. It's been a roller coaster, but we've had great success with our fighters from our area and, you know, from all over coming here and you know, putting on some hella great cards.
Now, you talk about, you know, Kentucky losing events, something we've been seeing out here, actually in Oregon over the last few years, you know, being one of the leading states in the whole country to – no more pro events at all, and 3-4 amateur events a year now. And, you know, it's definitely sad to see it happen. But in your region, there's definitely been a few promotions that have not only stepped up, but stepped up and taken it to a new level. And, you know, like definitely companies like V3, you know, now opening a pro division, obviously, NAAFS, you know, a substantial history behind them. Are you starting to see that the promotions that are disappearing were maybe the ones that you were hearing too many problems with anyway?
For sure. You know, they were ones that we were such a huge boxing state making the transition into MMA just a few years ago. So the old boxing mentality really played a big role in that. You saw some of the worst mismatch fights in the history of MMA early on. And it was, a lot of times it was, you know, fighters, you know, there's mixed martial artists and there's fighters and there's guys that would, you know, go to an event cause maybe they got a hotel room, some gas money. Mm-hmm. They got to leave the kids at home. And, you know, so there was that. And then there was the promoters that were out there, you know, fucking people over every week. And everybody kind of got hip to what was going on. And, you know, the people that are putting on good shows are still here. And the people that were a little questionable are gone.
But, you know, I would say that should, you know, have, you know, worked itself out. Hopefully sooner, but if it's happening now, at least, you know, we're getting rid of the bullshitters. I mean, look, I'll be honest, dude. I mean, you see today that this has become, for some folks, just a fucking greedy sport. I mean, we're starting to hear stories of promoters rigging fights just so guys can get in the UFC, you know, especially up here in the Pacific Northwest, you know. So it's sad that, you know, we have dirtbags in the sport like that. But I think with some of the rule changes we're seeing at some of the different commissions, and especially some of the leagues that are stepping up now and demanding blood work and, you know, a full medicals, I think it's great, though. I mean, it's going to take a little time to weed out the rest of the jackholes, but fuck it. If we can get them weeded out, better off.
Yeah, if they can regulate themselves, you know, if like the real guys can regulate and kind of put their egos aside and work together to squash some of this other bullshit, you know, that's how our commission is two people. We have two people in our commission, and one of them's part-time. So it's not like our commission, you know, is super active in the coming and going of the MMA atmosphere here. So it's really up to the promoters and the matchmakers and all that to kind of police themselves and call people out on their bullshit.
God. What
Gary,
if you like that?
Gary, I kind of stumbled across your guys' website, like research in Hard Rock MMA and Bluegrass. Where, like, on the local scale, where do you put those shows at? Are they kind of like the top tier, or is that more like a Roktagon and then Hard Rock or Bluegrass?
Well, for strictly local, like Hard Rock MMA is the gold standard in Kentucky, you know. And they're not fancy, and the owner will even tell you, and he's got an awesome catchphrase: it's not about the lights, it's all about the fights. And you know, he's got coming up on his 60th show in February. He's obviously doing great. Bluegrass Brawl, they run in the Mecca of Kentucky. You know, we're a basketball state, so Rupp Arena is like our shrine. And they run right there at Heritage Hall, which is inside Rupp Arena. And they're going to be on their 11th show, I believe. And, you know, they started out humble, which was great. And they're slowly kind of, you know, building and promoting their brand. And, you know, we went from 18 active promoters when Bluegrass MMA was formed to we have about 5 active promoters now. So it's really changed in just 3 years.
Okay.
Man, that's crazy. And that's the area that you're in, right? And now, do you venture up into Indiana much?
We do. We've covered Coliseum Combat, which is about 4 hours north of where I'm at in Kokomo. We'll be in Indianapolis for actually 2 amateur promotions going back to back in Indy. We've been to Combat Zone. We've done Tennessee. Countless promotions in Ohio, did the first sanctioned show in West Virginia, Pittsburgh, and we even did a show in Virginia. So we, my partner Juan, you know, he did 46 events, ass in seat at an event 46 times, and I did 44 in 2013.
I love it.
That's fucking awesome.
I was curious about the Georgetown MMA. I've been seeing a lot about it, and I wanted your opinion on their promotion and what you think they put forth as far as the show goes. Have you been to any of their events?
Georgetown, that's a guy by the name of Adam Gomez who runs that, and he is teamed up with a promotion called Turf Wars. And they run actually at Turfway Park, which is a racetrack up in northern Kentucky. And, you know, they're one, too, that they're in a land that's saturated. That's the northern Kentucky, Cincinnati. You know, you're an hour from Indianapolis, 15 minutes from Cincinnati, and they've survived everything that's going on. And they do great. They do indoor-outdoor. In the summer, it's outside at the racetrack. And then, you know, in the winter, it's inside. And they've got a show coming up just in a few weeks, and their crowds have slowly gotten bigger. They're starting to pull, you know, a lot of the George Gurgel guys and, you know, a lot of the elite gyms from around that area to compete there. And, You know, I think they're definitely one that you're going to see grow and move away, be able to travel and still, you know, keep a fan base.
Okay. I got it. Here, I got a question. Rogue Showtime question. This is for you because it's your first time on the show tonight. Who's the most overrated fighter in your area?
Oh, God. Overrated?
Yeah. In your opinion, what guy out there is walking 10-foot tall and bulletproof, but he's actually never going to make it?
Oh, man, that's hard to say. First year, I would say Ron Sparks, but I think he kind of got, you know, he's a huge monster of a dude. He's huge, and he fits the part, but if you see him fight, you know, he got to Bellator like 8-0. Rumor has it some of those fights were just made up, like on Sherdog. Like, they just created another fight, but he got exposed in his last two fights, so he's probably the guy that you would say should be the best, is really good in his head, but when it comes to facing stiff competition, he's just not, you know, he's never gonna be more than a regional guy, you know, bringing in a big crowd.
That's the best answer I've ever heard, because I would have answered the same exact way.
And I love Ron Sparks.
Kudos.
Great
to
dude.
You.
Just sucks.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But it's just what you said is 100% truth.
Now, you know, this year, I mean, Kane, since you're on the show, I believe Chris Gregory's on the show from President MMA Topics now. Who do you guys think underperformed this year in the top three leagues? Anybody?
And the top three leagues, as in,
you know, like Bellator, you know, Zuffa, you know, Maximum Fight Champ, Access Television Program, something along those lines. Who's the fighter you guys feel this year just failed to perform?
Man, how to narrow that down?
The biggest hype train that got derailed in 2013 was Uriah Hall.
That is a good answer. I would agree with that for sure.
It's pretty accurate. I mean,
absolutely.
Now he's fighting Chris Lieben coming up, I believe.
He ain't gonna beat Chris Lieben. Chris Lieben won't. His heart.
Well, that's the thing is, if he gets cut, which we all could pretty well agree, Dana White could be like, hit the road, you know. You were a great hype machine for our TV program, but other than that, you're Bellator material. Or is he even Bellator material?
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know about Bellator material.
Yeah, I'm sitting here, and you guys are talking. I don't even know who the guy is.
Oh, I love it.
I'm sorry. I don't even know what a dude is, man.
He's a TV show Tough Enough, really. See, you know, honestly, you know, I would love to see, like, maybe, you know, the cast of Tough, you know, the last, you know, season or two of Tough. I'd like to see them, you know, perform, you know, in some other leagues and get a chance to build their names if they didn't sign a contract. But there's a couple I'd like to see just straight up put into, like, a heavyweight K-1 match. And just be like, there you go.
He said a heavyweight K-1. Wow, you want to watch them get destroyed? That's what you want to watch.
There's a couple. You know, and
yeah,
speaking
show
of
you
folks,
to the wolves, the real wolves.
Don't forget, Super Combat's going down this weekend. And, like, just the, what? 10, 11 hours it goes live. I'm super pumped about that card. Dude, we got Glory in like 6 hours, I think. Oh, it's going to be good.
2 o'clock in the morning, 3 hours, 45 minutes or so.
Like, Well, for me over here, it would be like 9 o'clock on 9 p.m. over here on the East Coast.
But you should be able to catch, well, they're going to stream it first, and then they're going to run it on TV later on, what's that, Spike TV. And
yeah.
So the live stream starts in a couple of hours for anybody who wants to get up and watch it. But for you, as well, you'll be able to watch Super Combat because I believe it's at 6 o'clock your time. So you should be able to get it,
yeah.
You know, the whole event in before Glory goes live. And
I'm going to try to definitely watch Super Combat. And then I'll catch that Glory later on. That's right. I keep forgetting they're in Tokyo live. I'll just wait till later on to watch that.
Who is
that? It should be an interesting bout.
Oh, dude, I tell you right now, I think for me, the bout I want to watch all day long is Sandu on Super Combat. Who doesn't want to see that beast get in the ring again? That guy is huge, 360 pounds, and he's a kickboxer and MMA fighter with great records.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
that dude looks like he's coming off flyweight. For real.
You talking about Andre Logo or whatever his name is? That's what you're talking about?
All I know is, man, Peter Ernst's retirement fight is coming up, and I'm kind of sad.
Who?
Peter
Ernst. Oh, yeah. Well, he's like 42 years old. He's been fighting. He's been fighting for fucking like at least like what 30 years. About that.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Actually, he's my he's my favorite. He's like my favorite kickboxer and all. Like when I first had to get like tapes of like K1, I seen like they had a recap on like on one of the tapes of like all the knockouts, and most of all the knockouts were coming like from him to like every single body else. It was just like he was just knocking people the fuck out, and I was just like, God damn, this dude is ridiculous.
Dude, no, I totally agree, man. Ertz is a fucking beast.
But
He's got his hands full tomorrow, but I'm not really sure. Like, I mean, I understand that Verhoeven's coming off a couple big wins in the tournament, but I don't really see him beating Ertz, even with
the
20-pound size advantage.
You know what? If he sticks to a good game plan, and you know, and just work on Ertz and stay out of that range, he can beat him. The thing is, when you try to get into a brawl with Ertz, like the last guy you fought, what's his name?
Sadiq.
Yeah. He got into a brawl with him. Like, you know, that dude was beating him up, and then all of a sudden it got into a brawl, and then all of a sudden he just got popped in the mouth, and he just dropped him, and then he dropped him again, and then he caught him with the knee. When he caught him with that knee, I was just like, wow. You know, I was just like, that came out of nowhere. Because, you know, that's more of, that's more like, you know, Muay Thai, you know, and Kung Khmer. It's a technique, like under the arm and grabbing the head and you just torquing. And he just torqued his head down and the knee just came up, bam. And when he hit him with the knee, he just dropped on his hands and knees, and he was just like, he was done. And then like he had the nerve to like throw his hands up, like, well, what happened? You know, no, that doesn't count as a knockdown. It's like, dude, he fucking smashed the face. That's how bad the knee, like that knee strike was. That he was just like, you know, what happened?
So, Did you like that strike more, or Andy Riesty's when he knocked out the surgeon?
You see, when he knocked the doctor out, he knocked the doctor the fuck out. He just dropped him. And I was just like, oh, I was like, oh my God, yo. I was like, is he going to get up? And he was just like, he was just done. Like, you know, he was like, please take me away.
No.
He was just out. I love that knockout, though. I'm so glad he got knocked out because everybody was saying, oh, he's such the best and blah, blah, blah. I said, yo, because most of the people who fight against him don't come to fight. So they let him do whatever the hell he wants. I hate that shit.
Yeah, and Risi is just a fucking savage, man. Like, he's so efficient with everything, you know? I mean, I think that's the thing that I like the most about him is that everything is just all about efficiency, but it's still just so brutal and savage that, good God.
The thing is, too, he also knocked out Albert Krauss in his last fight with a knee.
Yeah, that was the knee to the ribs, right? That was the upside, the side knee there to the ribs, right?
Yeah.
What about Bukow's double liver shot twice in the tournament? I mean, in one day, destroyed two guys with liver shots, one with a punch and one with a kick. That was, the last K1 in Spain?
Oh, yeah. I didn't even get the chance to watch that, but I read the results and it was just like, wow.
Yeah.
He's also dangerous too. Like, he's one of those guys, like, people gotta understand, like the Thai fighters, they're so conditioned. You're not gonna get away with, like, you know, going in there half ass, half training, half condition, half anything, because you're gonna go in there and you're gonna get destroyed.
Yeah, we've had the pleasure of having, you know, Ben Stark and John Nutt from Bangkok on the show quite a bit. And one of the things, you know, we've talked about is the differences in fighters who, you know, train traditionally Thai versus even American Thai fighters. And that's the thing is, you know, so many people are like, well, Thai is different than K1. But when you put those two guys in a ring, it's still about technique. It's still about the first one to make a mistake, you know? It doesn't really – I know some of the rules are a little different on, like, how long you can, you know, hold somebody, you know, his leg, or how many steps you can take and shit like that, you know, or even clinching and power control. But it's still about a technical striking game.
There's definitely a big difference. That's why in K1, they really don't allow the clinch. Because I remember when Bukow first showed up there and he was clinching the guys and he was just destroying them with knees. And like, a lot of those guys were complaining about it. And, like, you know, a lot of top fighters got destroyed because of it. So now they have to come up with another rule, like, you know, a 3-second rule of grabbing, you know, clenching. And even Alistair Overy was, doing the same thing, that brutal knockout of, you know, Everton Teixeira. So, you know, the rules about the clenching or whatever, you know, it really, you know, they can sit here and say, you know, 3 seconds, that's really all you need is 3 seconds. Get a clinch, get a knee off, face, chin, you know, solar plex, stomach, whatever. That's all you need.
I see some badass guys from the clinch throw a sick T-kick, man. Bam!
Yep. I've seen a lot, man. It's, you know, I'm really happy that they allow the clinch, you know, and in Glory and K1, especially in Glory. A lot of fighters who have fought in, you know, in Thailand or whatever, you know, they utilize that a lot. You could see the difference too, who actually fought in Thai fights and who just fought in, like, just regular kickboxing matches.
because the guys who fought in Thai, you know, they always utilized, you know, sweeps, a lot of throws, you know, a lot of clinching, a lot of technique and, you know, using those things and stuff. Where, you know, the guys who are kickboxers, you know, don't really utilize a lot of that, you know, those techniques.
That's why I love having those fights. But, you know, speaking of great, you know, fights this weekend, folks, don't forget, tomorrow, my pro fucking league of the year kicks off again. And you, dude, I'm going to tell you right now, folks. I listened to the Bukaki 7.5 fucking minutes laughed at me about my pick, and I still stand behind it, asshole.
I didn't laugh at you because of your pick. I laughed at you because I told everybody your pick before you got to tell everybody your pick. And I might just start laughing again because you fucking reminded me about it.
For all the folks out there to watch, my personal pick for Pro League of the Year, over 320 pros from every continent but Antarctica got to perform on that stage. So, bam, bitches, Oplot 93 tomorrow at 11 a.m.
Yeah, but see, you're gonna watch Oplot instead of Super Combat?
No, Oplot is going to be over by the time Super Combat starts. Not only that, you know me, I could put up the 5 different streams in the studio at one time. So I'm not worried. I'm like that shit, dude. I'm a gangster, man. I got monitors everywhere. You've been here. What am I telling you?
Oh, man. Too much.
Both the winners at the table dances.
What'd you say, Jeff?
Is that true? The winners at Oplot get table dances?
No. I will tell you what. More than once, that cameraman is shot right up girls' skirts on the live feed. I don't understand.
Dude,
like
when he had the 5 girls all wearing white panties, that was awesome.
Dude, and you know he had to know he was filming right up their skirts. I mean, it's not like
I hope he didn't know.
Why did I miss this?
Dude, and Oplot has the best door. They got like Darth Vader's door. It slides straight up instead of swinging out. I love that. That's just cool. They got the coolest sponsor.
Send me a link next time.
Oh, I will, dude. I share the shit out of that.
Yeah, I don't want to miss it.
It is the best. Every week they do an amateur event and a pro event. Every single week of the year. It's great stuff.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. I love it. And for real, it's just, I know, you know, some of the pros there on the main event are the better pros. Their amateur league is literally, they brought amateurs from all over the world to perform there, man, men and women. They have some great fights, but I will tell you what, any of the kids out of the Kistan, whether it's Dakistan, Kazakhstan, any of those kids are definitely some bad motherfuckers, man.
Yeah, don't ever say, okay, so whenever you're referring to these places, never just say Russia. I got, Chris, remember what me and you got lectured for like 2 hours that one day by those fucking idiots? When I was like, all these Russian guys are the same. And they're like, he's not Russian. He's from Dagestan. And this guy here's from Kazakhstan. If you knew what you're talking about, you wouldn't just say that they were Russians. Do you know what that means to just call them a Russian? I was like, shut the fuck up, man.
They're all Falongs, right?
Yeah, it's whatever. They're all Stans. I just say, from now on, I'm just going to call them all Stans. Like, yo, Stan, you're cool.
Well, it is funny because we found out in Thailand that they just call like every white person in the world Falong. It don't matter like what part of the world. If you're not Thai, you're Falong.
You know, if you fight in Kazakhstan, it's actually legal to call a timeout now.
That's some baller shit, dude. I think if the next time somebody throws a rear naked choke on me, I should be able to call timeout in the fight and then get reset. That's cool shit.
Dude, that was the weirdest
shit
I've ever seen.
Anytime you can finish somebody twice in one fight, that's amazing.
We've asked Dave to say the same thing.
Literally, Kevin Kroom beat the tar out of his opponent, cut him, he calls a timeout, runs away, almost gets rear naked choked, The referee.
Dude, I like how Devin was not, like, letting go of the – he wasn't letting go of the rear naked choke. Like,
no, he wasn't.
The referee's, like, got him – the referee's got Kevin seat belted, and he's trying to pull the dude off. Holy shit.
What type of – wow, what type of fucking shit is that?
Dude, right? I'm going to post it in the thread that everybody's typing on right now so everybody can see the video.
So, yeah, so anyway – this guy goes outside the cage, gets bandaged up, comes back in the cage, all bandaged up, and then gets his ass whooped again. So it was like, it was really odd the way it went down. But Kevin Kroom, he should get 2 wins for that. I'm just saying, for all the bullshit he had to go through for this fight, he should get 2 wins for that. I mean, he got bullshitted, he got lied to when he got over there. He's like, okay, the weigh-ins are on this day, so actually... he had to weigh in 24 hours before he actually thought he had to. It's crazy.
Wow. And what was this again?
This was Kevin Kazakhstan Kroom? For Alash FC, and it was for the 25th anniversary of the country's independence. He was the main event. No one told him until, like, right before.
Well, right there you said it, Pakistan. Who the fuck want to go over there and fight in Pakistan when these motherfuckers
so fucking... Kazakhstan.
You said... Huh?
In Kazakhstan. Not that there's much difference, but... Kazakhstan.
It's where Borat's from. It's where the fucking that dude Borat's from.
Oh, man.
Okay, well, Sacha Baron Cohen is from the England, but the fictional
really?
Character Borat is from Kazakhstan. Yeah. Fucking guys, like, we're referencing this motherfucker like he's some real person. Borat is from Kazakhstan. Okay, Borat is a fictional fucking character in the movie.
Thank you for the history
wow.
lesson, asshole. I used to remember
that
dude on English.
Hey, dude,
on
Rocky's from Philadelphia, too, bro. Rocky's from Philadelphia.
I was just watching that, too.
Okay, folks, the first video, skip that one. Because I posted a trip video. Okay, the second video I just posted is the right one. And I'm going to tell you what, dude. You guys are going to have a blast watching it. Bluegrass, have you seen it yet?
You posted it.
Dude, you got everybody.
I didn't know about this cat, so I heard you guys talking about him Wednesday.
Oh, man, this kid is a beast. I guess... 9-0 this year as a pro out of fighting out of Jackson's MMA. Kids, how many kickboxing matches did he have, Chris?
He's only had a few kickboxing matches, but he's boxed. He's done anything. I mean, he was on a roll this year in MMA. He's fought in Bellator, RFA. He's fought everywhere. 9-0, 15-5, I think, as a pro. I mean, the UFC definitely should call him, but look, if they don't, he'll be fighting in 2 weeks anyway. I mean, that dude's constantly getting fights. He don't care, man. He just, boom, fight after fight. I mean, look, he went over to Kazakhstan. Who would have thought of that shit? He just does his thing. I mean, dude's constantly fighting. He's not your typical Jackson's MMA guy that likes to lay and pray. This dude likes to fucking fight. So, yeah, I mean... Dude likes to bang, man, and they call him the hard-hitting hillbilly. I mean, that says it all right there.
Shit, yeah.
Dude, he's awesome, man. He's such a fun, he's a fun-ass interview.
Yeah, definitely get him on your show. You should definitely have him on your show. You'll love him. He is a hoot. The first time we ever interviewed him, he literally is like, I figured I'd take my dogs for a walk in the ghetto and do the interview. And I was like, are you, dude, for real, walking through the ghetto, like, with his dogs on chains, just doing an interview. I thought I was just, instantly, I was like, dude, I'm a fan.
I also interviewed him one night, and he was at a Justin Bieber concert, so I had to hang up on him because it was annoying as shit. But, yeah, I mean, that happened. It really did.
I remember that show.
Justin Bieber show. Wow.
I don't know. I can't believe someone... Who just fucking mentioned that motherfucker?
Skippy.
I can't believe I just heard that. He was at a concert. Oh, man. K.O.
There, I fixed that problem.
Yeah, I would have hung up on him, too. And then I would have called him back with her on and said, motherfucker, don't you ever in your life
I just don't understand what you're thinking there. I think that we're going to have come up with some sort of an appropriate punishment. I did not undo that.
Chris said Bieber, not me. Why you cock-blocking on me, bro? Because, look, Chris said it. Chris is the one who I just said I remember
fucking,
the show.
Dude, what are you thinking, bro? Come on, man. What the fuck is this shit?
Dude, you're exactly I interviewed him one night when he was at a concert, and that was what you said. And I said, I remember, because I remember sitting at home that night. I'd just gotten my fifth set of divorce papers, and we were celebrating. And I was like, yo, listen to Chris's show. And I did that night. So don't give me that. And by the way, folks, I'm going for a six-pack.
He's having a divorce.
Oh, man.
See,
yep,
this
man,
is what...
You're too much. Steve's one of those guys that you take to the bar and you're so hammered and, like, fucking randomly walk up to a chick and, like, fucking fall face first into her tits and that right there will start a big fight. Thanks, guys.
Hey, you guys know that tits for Skippy the Pimp,
that
right?
That just happened?
Oh,
Chris,
God.
You heard my voicemail? We gotta go back to that clip with that voicemail when you called me that one time. My voicemail was like some kind of like ghetto rap, gangbang, like sex stuff. It was great. That was hilarious.
Ghetto, you just say ghetto rap gangbang music?
I don't know what they call it. Chris listens to that shit.
Gangbang.
He's the one driving around in his 63 Impala telling us stories about riding around in the hood. So I'm just trying to fit in with him. I don't know, dude.
Will you guys please give him my number so I get voicemails like that?
Oh, no, you'll probably get other voicemails. Come on, baby. You know I love you. You come through.
You're playing on gangbang music? I'm lost here.
Chris,
you said gangbang music.
Look, that's the Jewish part of me. Like, the Mexican part of me likes Toronto music, so I still don't even listen to the gangbang music.
No comment. Oh, I'm just kidding. I don't want to fucking go Doug Dynasty in this bitch, all right? Don't even start.
Right, don't cause the controversy.
Oh, no.
Now, you know, I mean, like, Beach Street was good, like, rap. You know, that was rap. So I mean, that's what I consider rap. So I'm just taking a stab. I don't know what you guys, the kids today, are calling all this stuff where they're driving around shooting people with Mac and talking about hoes.
Dude, Too Short is rap music to me, dude.
Yeah.
That's the rap music.
Listen, listen. I listen to, you know, like, if you listen to Lil Wayne, take a shotgun right now, shove it in your mouth, pull the fucking trigger. All right? Because I'm sorry to say, if you're wearing tight-ass fucking pants and you're trying to sag them, you asking for somebody to run up in your ass. That's serious. And if you got wacky ass fucking Mickey Mouse tattoos in your face, you definitely need to be punching the fucking jaw repeatedly. Because, yo, all right, look.
Oh my God.
I've been listening to rap forever. And, you know, when you got a clown, like he's literally like a fucking clown. like rapping about the dumbest shit, and you're like, what the fuck are you talking about? And then like he goes multi platinum, and I'm just like, get the fuck out of here. So you tell me if I came out and said, yo, my name is Left Shoe, and I started rapping about stupid shit like, you know, shit, man, I was in the ghetto, and then this dude came up to me and put a gun to my face, and I said, hello, you know, something stupid like that, and then, like, everybody will love me.
No, then you gotta say, and have to drink, no, then you got to make sure that you tell him to go drink some codeine, cough syrup,
yeah,
and shit like that, so,
like,
so
yo,
that
yo,
you
yo,
can
yo,
brainwash him later.
Yo, 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 my name is Tyrone Shoelaces from the West Side. Get down on the street.
Tyrone Shoelaces.
They got a spot for me last week. What are you talking about?
What was your next
rap?
Wasn't it like $50 bill?
Oh, man. Yo, you know what? Yo, hey. Yo, I'm going to go on the post, and I'm going to post this dude that you guys probably never fucking heard of. He's a white dude, and he's Jewish. I've never laughed so hard in my fucking life. You know, this motherfucker has a big role, and every time I listen to his shit, he's fucking a clown.
Is that
but
me?
He raps real good, though.
Mac Miller?
Is that
who?
Nah, it's this dude named Speak.
Who the fuck you said, Mac Miller? Get the fuck out of here.
Speak? I've never heard of that.
Speak, dude. Throw
yo,
it down
yo.
Rap. Look. I got Capella Fish on my thigh. Oh, yeah, I've heard him.
I'm going to go, you know what, I'll be right back. I'm going to go find him, post it up so you motherfuckers can laugh. This dude is a fucking clown.
Look, while we're taking a quick break from talking about gangster rappers and thugs, I got to ask, I saw you mentioned actually today, Gary, in an article about the Women's MMA Awards and the validity behind the votes. What's your opinion on that, brother?
Eric Holden is not allowed to vote.
Dude, listen, I think, and I'm probably going to get chastised, but I think Eric Holden is a genius because he's such a dumbass, but he knows how to push every single fucking person's buttons. And he's parents' basement on his computer, like, kick back laughing. Like, he knows what he's doing. And it's just amazing.
Oh, I agree.
But, like, our writer, Gina Begley, she got nominated for this press association, and, of course, she wasn't going to say no, and it's, like, a very tight-knit group of these. I don't know. It's such a tough clique of those hardcore women's MMA fans, and they're mostly like uptight dudes, and it fucks me up. So the way they act and the way they're so estrogen laced about it, like, I see them post and talk about it, and I respect their work, but I'm like, Jesus Christ, guys, have some balls. I mean, it's just it's so like eighth grade shit that they do.
Nah, seventh grade.
Yeah, but let's be honest, you know, that's something, you know, like this show tonight. You would never be able to get Eric Holden and some of those other guys to come on a show like this and just kick back and be honest, you know, because they're too worried about their image. They're too worried about...
The last thing Eric Holden is worried about is his image, if you haven't been paying attention.
Well, we're talking about as a group of the individuals that he listed in that article that he feels should be representing women's MMA, you know. They would never have the balls to come on a show and say what they truly feel. They want to only say what is going to make 90% of the masses happy. Those guys care only about column inches. That's it. They don't give a fuck about anything else other than column inches and getting a 90% approval rating. That's it.
It's an agenda. It's an agenda for them.
Dude, it's just part of the emasculization of men, man. That people, dude, it's like, you know, Kane mentioned, like, the tight pants, and you can't even pull them up and fucking wear them appropriately. And then you got these fucking idiots out there running around with beards on. The only reason they grow a beard is because it's the only way they feel fucking masculine, because they're built like a fucking woman. And they couldn't
fucking do anything
to save their fucking life if it depended on them. You know, and they dress like they're some kind of fucking logger, but if you gave them a chainsaw, they'd probably fucking cut their leg off instead of fucking cut a tree down. You know?
Oh. Fuck, I got to shave my beard.
Like, I'm gonna grow this beard so that I feel like I'm a man, because I'm so emasculated by society, and I sit here and act like, and they're all so frail and built like fucking women.
Hey.
Why are you fucking dogging on Jordan for, man? Jesus Christ.
Yo. You know, I have to say something. Oh, yeah. I posted up that video, by the way. But I noticed that there's been a lot of, like, retarded-ass fucking dudes inboxing, like, female MMA fighters and talking about they would fight them and shit like that. What's going on with that?
Hold on,
man,
say that
again. Crazy stalkers. I think I've seen what you're talking about.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. you get these retarded ass fucking dudes, right? Who are inboxing, like, mixed martial arts, you know, female fighters, telling them that, you know, they can kick their ass and blah blah blah. And I'm like, really? These motherfuckers are inboxing female fighters, talking about they would kick their ass and all this other dumb shit. I was on the post and Chris was like, this guy Chris Powell, he was like, yo, he told one of the girls that were on the post, he said, you should set him up so I can bring a fighter over there to meet, like a guy fighter, to meet him to whoop his ass, then we can record it. I was fucking rolling. I was just like, this dude's really, really wasting their time, like, inboxing females and trying to fight them. Like, seriously, get the fuck out of here. Like, those guys should be, they should meet up with these females and then get beat up by fucking a grown-ass fucking man. You know, a heavyweight. Have a heavyweight beat them up.
We have some for those guys, team.
Now go home and get your fucking shine box.
I believe it, man. Inboxing
the shine
females,
box award,
you want to
the
fight
them. The shine box award has been given out before. And I think you've got a great nominee for the Shine Box Award tonight. Yeah, I was reading about that, too. I don't understand some of the – I guess – I don't know, man. I think it'd be funny to watch some of these chicks kick these dudes' ass.
Yep. It'd be a new deck-ass type fucking thing. Instead, it won't be scripted.
Well, look, if we're going to do that, hey, look, straight up, I prefer to see taser fights legalized on reservations before we see male-female fights. The taser fights are fucking fun to watch.
Dude, I'm still wanting to see some Filipino knife fights, motherfucker.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Put that shit on some Access TV. You know where I'll be on Friday night.
I mean, there's no other way to do it, man. You're either fighting for your life or you ain't fighting.
Dude, that's
just like Warrior Island, guys.
No.
Exactly.
Just, honestly, do you know who's come the closest to putting that kind of representation in a fight? And that's Dare. Let's be honest. $125,000 to the winner, nothing to the loser. You're going to fight your ass off.
And they did.
You're not
going
to fight Dare at all, because I ain't trying to make nothing. Fuck that.
This is like, even if I lose, I need some coin. I'm going to be stuck in Thailand.
I got to eat.
Like, I'm not trying to be stuck in Bangkok.
Hey, what do you think about that, Gary? What do you think about that for an end of a tournament, title on the line, championship for the tournament on the line, winner gets 125 grand with the title, and the loser gets nothing?
Dude, you better go balls out. I mean, that's fucking insane. But I don't know about up in your area, but we're seeing these winner-take-all fights, these fucking pros that will you know, not we're not talking 125 grand, but, you know, put their purse up against the other guy's purse, you know, all the loser gets is their gas money home, and the other pro walks away. Like Nate Landwehr versus Adam Townsend. Y'all know Nate the Train.
Nate's the pimp. Nate's the pimp.
Yeah, he's fighting a winner-take-all fight in Pigeon Forge against Adam Townsend. And I'm like, who the fuck told you this was a good idea? Or maybe it is a good idea. Maybe it's like some reverse psychology shit. I don't know. I know Ron Daly knows what he's doing. But fuck, I'd be a pissed off bastard if I got a shitty decision on that one.
I think that's the only way he can get a fight. I think that's the only way he can get a fight around there.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but we've seen it. Hey, we've
seen Gary, you could probably speak better on that, but is that maybe kind of the truth?
No, he's a fucking wild man, you know, and we saw him in a boring decision against Duane Owens for the XFC, where he admitted it just wasn't his night. But listen, this motherfucker, he could go 10 5-minute rounds, 20 5-minute rounds. He's a machine.
He is.
That's insane.
No, Nate's a fucking monster.
But but let's be honest, you know, and everybody here, we all know enough pros, and I as well as I do, JT versus Lyle Beerbaum was supposed to be a winner-take-all before that fight fell through, but I think that's a good thing. Honestly, I think you're going to see better fights, because both pros are coming in there knowing somebody's going home broke, and they're not going to let it be them. That means they might hold on one extra second for the bell, or they might take one extra punch before tapping out. Whatever the case may be, I think they push it a little harder and a little farther than they normally would. So with no security blanket behind them financially for the fight, I think you see a better fight.
Yeah, I think the mentally strong person wins that every time. You know, whoever's ready, like, say, fuck it, it's all on the line, they're going to win that 9 times out of 10. Your boy Corey Alexander, prime example, took a fight, winner take all, same place Nate's doing a fight, and said, fuck it, came out just swinging.
That's where he caught the guy, right?
Yeah.
Didn't he knock that guy out quick?
No, it went 3 rounds, but, you know, Corey's a wrestler, and, man, he beat the shit out of this dude.
Wow.
He needed pancake money.
He needed pancake money.
Dude, Molly has him at Waffle House all the time, you know?
Well, hey, folks, real quick, let me pay some bills to my sponsors. We're going to play a commercial for music, and we'll be right back. You guys definitely should check out all our great sponsors, but... I know I've got one right here lined up. As soon as I can, there we go. Check it out.
All on security. Please report to the main gate. We are about to unleash the psycho.
Hey, listen up. If you're in contact sports, the American Dental Association recommends that mouth guards be worn during all heavy contact sports. So do what MMA Meltdown does and contact the best in the biz, Clinch Custom Mouth Guards. Clinch Custom Mouth Guards fabricates custom mouth guards for all professional and amateur sports, mixed martial arts, boxing, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, basketball, football, lacrosse, hockey, as well as many other sports. These mouth guards are for any sport where any form of contact may occur. Get your custom mouth guard today at GetClinch.com. Again, that's GetClinch.com for all of your mouth guard needs.
Sunshine, a little bit of booze, a little bit of me, and a little bit of you, a little bit country, a little bit of blues, a little slice of heaven,
and a little piece of you. Come on, alcohol and ass. Pour another drink in my glass. Alcohol.
My kick-ass sponsors, once again, Clock Tower Pub, MMAMadhouse.com, VisionSmokes.com, Clinch Custom Mouth Guards, Ink Tank Tattoo, Jax Media, Go Fight Live TV, Revolver MMA, and our newest badass sponsor, who all you guys should be checking out, RearNakedSmoke.net. Follow them at RNSMMA. Hour two, man. It's pretty much the same as hour one. We're going to kick back, folks, and keep just talking what we want to talk. It's always tied to MMA in some way. And I'm going to just say it right now. Let's not start the pitcher game tonight, guys. Okay? Because you guys know how I get. I know you guys like horses. And I'll just leave it there. You know, I'll tell you guys, everybody, you know, from Bluegrass, Kane, Lepaki, we all get on threads, you know, messages back and forth. But we got into a picture war once, and I got Chris and Jeff to stop being in my thread.
Let's just say that it was a little inappropriate. I couldn't even literally. I couldn't even go on. I couldn't even go on with the show. I mean, it was ridiculous. I had to stop everything I was doing. I had to just stop interviews and everything. I was like, "Fuck this, I'm out."
You're a sick fuss, Skippy. You are a sick bastard.
He's a sick man.
I don't even want to know why you had that stuff on your computer. That's what I don't even want to know that.
Right, and it was so quick too. It was like boom, boom, boom. He wasn't downloading any of that. It was already downloaded.
That's a fact.
Oh shit, you guys kill me, man. Oh, so it's been a pretty, you know, decent year for some people in MMA, not so decent for others. There's just a couple of really good cards.
Hey, what
coming
the
up.
Fuck? What the fuck? I'm leaving the conversation right now.
Dude, I'm not sending no pictures. Don't blame me. Somebody else is doing it.
Chris.
You guys, dude, yeah, it's Chris. You guys all know we have.
You didn't like my tattoo? What the fuck, man?
Oh, that's fucked up, man. Why would you send that?
That ain't your ass. That ain't your ass, silver dollar.
My question is, the big fights left of the year on the big Zuffa stage, who does everybody got, Silva or Weidman?
Weidman.
Weidman all day.
Yes.
Okay.
I think it's going to be a little bit of a different fight this time. But you know what? Honestly, I think that Silva's going to do the same thing as he did last time. That's how he fights, man. It's not.
Of course
it's
he
not
is.
That he got hot. It's just that that's how he fights. So I see the same thing happening. I mean, maybe Anderson Silva will be a little bit more defensive, but I highly doubt it. I
doubt it too
happening.
Because that's how he fights. That is how he fights, and that's how he lost, and Weidman will catch him the same exact way as he did last time. He will lose.
He will lose. I disagree.
I just don't know how you can dismiss
Anderson. Let's
Anderson
go,
Silva.
Baby. Let's go. Let's talk about it.
What'd you say, Gary?
I said, let's talk about it. Why do you disagree?
I don't think you can just dismiss, you know, one of the greatest of all times. If it does stay standing, which will be stupid, we know what he can do with his counter punching and how elusive he can be. Yeah, he got caught. He was, you know, it's normal, I guess, as he would say. But this motherfucker's bad. I mean, his foot can put you away, and I just think you're going to see a different Anderson Silva doing the same stuff he's always done, but winning like he always did.
Doing the same thing, lackluster and slacking,
and taking it lazy. Not even taking it serious because he whooped somebody's ass. And now someone whooped his ass, I think he's going to come back fired the fuck up. And it's just going to be like something we haven't even seen before, I think. I don't think he likes losing at all. But is it too late for that?
No, I mean, how long has he been doing this?
2005, 2006? He's been fighting the same way? But is it too late for that?
No, Corey, look.
I do think Weidman's going to win, but I don't think it's too late for Anderson Silva at all. I think he has a lot of fight in him. He has a fucking, what, 8 more fights on his contract still? I mean, there's a lot more this guy has to do.
Something I want to point out about Silva this time for this camp that's completely different than the last few years is he's not completely doing his camp at home. He's going to Thailand to do some of his camp. He is trying to get back, you know, I guess maybe what he feels he's lacking in his striking or something, but obviously somewhere in his striking game he feels like he can improve. And he's, this time around, instead of bringing some coaches in, he's going overseas to train for this camp. I think that says a big statement for him to pack up and leave this time and go train somewhere else. I think that's a huge statement about how bad he wants this win. And how bad he's
going to
come in.
Because he finally realizes he has to do something to win?
No, because he finally realizes
that he's not that dominant?
if he comes in and knocks out Weidman in the first round, he's going to say, look, I fucked up the first time, and I played a game, and I lost. This time around, I came in like a surgeon, and I picked him apart in a fight. I proved it. And that's what he's going to do. That's what he has to finish Weidman in devastating fashion to show everybody, A, that was a fluke, which I believe it was, and B, he's still the baddest man on the
planet. Oh, shit, man. I just don't think that was a fluke.
You don't think having your hands down, putting your chin out?
Fuck no, I don't think it was a fluke. I respect your opinion. You know that 100%. I respect your opinion. But I do not think that was a fluke because Silva fought how he fought every fight he's ever fought.
Because
he was fighting.
All it was just a matter of time. It's a matter of time until he got caught doing that stupid thing, and he's going to not do it anymore, I don't think. And that's going to make a difference, because if he wasn't doing that, would have never happened. That's what makes it a fluke, because if he was doing that, it would have never happened.
His fighting style became lackadaisical because he became so dominant that he did not have to show up.
I agree with that. That is a very good point. I will tell you that is a very good point.
Look at
he didn't
one.
Have to show up because he didn't have an adversary that was anywhere near what he is. But Chris is. Chris
no,
is.
Round
I
round
think
round
that.
Round one. Chris in no way dominated him in any part of that fight. Chris won 1 second of that fight with one punch. Congratulations. You won the fight. But the one second. He didn't win the fight from the opening bell in any stretch. I told her today.
Baby, you got me fired up.
I told you, we're going to talk about it. And, I understand your opinion. I even understand your side of the argument. But ultimately, the fact comes down to, in no way, shape, or form, was he dominant that night over Anderson Silva in such a fashion that folks are standing back going, holy shit, this is the second coming of Christ. That's just not what went down. And let's be honest.
But if Anderson Silva is going to come in every fight like he fought Damian Maia, he fought whoever you want to call, any opponent he's had. He's never fought anybody like Chris. So Chris caught him. He fucking won. Who's to say that's not going to happen again?
Damian Maia took him to a decision, okay? Alessio Sakara took him to a decision. These are lesser men in the realm of Anderson Silva who he shits on.
Of course they are.
And, he got a lucky elbow TKO of Mark Munoz, too. But, it happens. It does. I'm not denying that he beat Anderson Silva with a knockout. But in no way, shape, or form did he come into that fight and whoop Anderson Silva like a redheaded stepchild and say, bitch, give me my lunch money.
Oh, goodness. Well, I'm just going to tell you right now, I hope to fuck Weidman wins again. I'm just saying.
Did anybody?
I can't help it.
Sorry, believe that Weidman was so dominant in round one?
It's so hard to say because how Anderson was fighting. It's hard to, whenever you talk about Anderson Silva, it's hard to talk about his fight style because there's a goofing off style and there's a legitimate style of how he fights, but they are kind of both one and the same. But I think Weidman showed him exactly what he needed to see. Out of all of these years of trying to me, Anderson Silva has been disrespectful to who he's fought, as in kind of, come on, hit me in the face, motherfucker, hit me in the face. Weidman did it and knocked him out. And I think he will do it again.
I don't see Anderson Silva backing straight up ever again in his entire career.
Yes, exactly.
I respect everybody's opinion. I love everybody's opinion.
Okay.
But
well, then,
my...
let's, something, Kari. If you respect our opinion in the immortal words of Jeff McConnell, then why don't you just agree with us?
I respect it, but I think that... I respect
what the fuck did you just
100%.
Say?
You know that.
Calm down over there, Hitler.
But you know how I feel now. I think Silva's gonna lose his fight, and I hope Ronda loses too. I'm just gonna throw that out there as well. And I know plenty of people hate me for that too, but Team Misha, baby.
Well, at least you got one right. At least
yeah,
you got one right.
Misha wins. I believe
Misha wins. Fuck yes, Misha wins.
My only concern is that afterwards she fell for steroids because we cooked dinner.
Fell for steroids? Is that what you just said? Oh, shit. No, that's not the case.
God damn.
So, who here is on the Misha train and who's here on the Ronda train?
You know,
well,
my
obviously, Kari's on the Misha train.
You know where I am. I'll take a draw. So can both my hands be raised?
Dude, you're calling for a draw. But you know that's like an 80,000-to-1 odd in Vegas right now.
Dude, okay, so I do this like fantasy wagering game on Tapology, and this one guy thought he'd be funny, and he like made this bet on Mark Hunt, Antonio Silva not going to a draw, and it was -45,000. The fucking
wow.
Fight into a draw.
That was the best draw I've ever seen in my entire life. I will say that. 45,000? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's insane. But
yes.
I think, here's a question for all you guys, okay? And I'm curious, everybody on the table, because we got plenty of fans out there who've asked this question recently. If Misha wins, does Holly Holm's first fight in the UFC go against Ronda?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I'd like to see that.
I'm the same way with the guy that just said, I don't know who
if
that
Misha
was.
Wins, if Misha wins, then she'll have to fight Holly Holm.
Yeah, it should be like that.
Let's be honest. If Misha wins, it's an automatic rematch.
Yeah,
it always happens, too.
Absolutely. Automatic rematch is obviously going to be what happens. Just because of money and viewers.
Because UFC is using Ronda as a fucking poster child, and she'll pretty much be fighting anybody that has a title if she doesn't.
Absolutely.
Here's a question.
Absolutely.
Here's a question. If Misha wins, is the rematch on Fox or a pay-per-view?
Pay-per-view.
It will be on pay-per-view.
Pay-per-view.
Actually, 100%. You know what? Nah, I think it'll be on Fox.
What? No.
I think it'll be
really?
On Fox. Because
the mystique is gone. The mystique is gone. Well, and Mystique of Miranda is gone if she loses. She won't have any.
Why?
Draw.
Just because Misha won? Like, if you thought Ronda won, do you think that it would be pay-per-view?
Yeah, because her mystique grows. Therefore, more people want to then more people want to see her, and you can leverage that on pay-per-view better than you can on Fox.
I mean, that makes
money.
Sense money-wise, but I disagree with it as far as business-wise.
Hey, you guys see that Chael Sonnen was talking about that he had fucking some surgery done on his fucking intestines or some stupid shit. That's why he lost to fucking Rashad Evans.
I hate Chael Sonnen.
Okay, look.
Hey, watch it.
Like,
that's my homeboy. Wow. I just can't understand, like every time when these dudes lose, they always go, oh, well, this person had it, like, oh, well, I hurt my arm in training or, you know, in practice or whatever, or this is that. It's always an excuse every single time when they lose.
Kane, I agree with you 100% on that. It's the same thing with this Ronda Rousey press release kind of thing that came out today where she addresses all this shit. Look, if I'm going to show up to a fight or I'm filming a show and I see that I'm being told to look out like a bitch or I just had intestinal surgery, hey, yeah, look, motherfuckers, I'm going to take this fight with Rashad even though I have 8 inches of my intestines ripped out my ass. But you know what? I'm a fucking man going to hold my contract up. So if I lose, I lose because I went in there and tried my fucking best. But to come out 6 weeks later and give me some bullshit like that stupid crap about Dennis Hallman, you know, refusing to take the fight, which I've heard way too many
bullshit.
People say, yeah. Second of all, this shit turning eye wax gel remover, whatever, into racist fucking, come on, motherfuckers. This is
I had about 1% of respect for Ronda Rousey until she said she could beat Cain Velasquez, and then I was like, boom,
listen,
that bitch is done.
Yeah, listen.
She's done.
All right, listen. That fight wouldn't even be a fight. It would be rape.
That was the dumbest
shit. Because Cain Velasquez
would
bend her over and run in her ass.
That was the dumbest shit I've ever fucking heard in my life.
That chick, when she ever said that, I said, what? How are you going to be Cain Velasquez? By giving him a blowjob and making him fucking come all over the place?
Right.
Hey, look, speaking of men beating up women, I want to ask everyone's opinion about Frank Mir beating up John Jones in a bathroom after a party in Russia.
What was it?
You know what? I seen that.
Dude, he fucking knocked.
Dude, they trained together.
Did you say Frank Mir? Hang on, I missed that. Start all over, please.
Frank Mir fight John Jones at that after party in Russia.
Okay, yeah. I saw the videos.
I tell you what, I said it a long time ago and I say it now. John Jones can't hang on the heavyweight division. That proved it right there quick
fuck
as shit.
Fuck no, he can't.
You're crazy. He was playing around and they were drunk.
Ah, come on.
Playing around
they're
when
training
they were drunk.
They're training partners.
That
when people call me crazy,
like no
but
around.
Come on.
Tito got beat up by Lee Murray in a street fight, bro. Lee Murray would get smashed by Tito in the cage. Give me a break. There's nothing to do with it. One has nothing to do with the other.
Oh, by the way, everybody, Anthony Hamlin, the man himself, the badass, is live with us. I was waiting when you were going to drop in on that conversation. Let me ask you, we just talked about it. Who do you got, Misha or Ronda?
Well, I used to be a huge Ronda fan. Now I think she's a cunt.
Yes, baby.
Brian Caraway is a still piece of shit here I can't stand, so. Who do I root for? I don't know. I'm kind of stuck.
That was the best thing I've ever heard.
Hamlin, would you like to see a double
I'd like to see Brian and Ronda in a kickboxing match, and neither one of them can grapple. Let's let them fight.
I actually wouldn't mind seeing them grapple.
No, I would like to see them in a kickboxing match. That'd be good.
Right.
Neither one of them, you know, relies on their stand-up much, so it'd be fun to watch them kickbox.
Dude, that looks like 2 4-year-olds throwing punches, bro.
Well, a lot of you guys don't even pay attention. I don't know if you have or not. Ronda's left-handed. I don't know if you guys noticed that yet.
She throws like shit either way.
She's left-handed.
Does, exactly. She has no stand-up.
Yeah,
you got to remember, she keeps getting better every time. I seen Hallman a couple of weeks ago. He said they went over an armbar defense that he don't think Ronda's going to be able to armbar. So we'll see.
Doesn't think he's going to be able to armbar Misha? Is that what you just said?
No, yeah, Hallman swears that they've got a little setup that they're going to stop her whole her arm bracers and stuff. So we'll see how she did it.
Is she all of a sudden double jointed?
Hey,
she's going to be double jointed if you think she's going to stop her on the arm bar, though. I mean, let's be real.
Oh,
well,
no.
I know, but start talking that way. But what he explained, and I agree with what he went over, so it's she does some things wrong, but she's just so brutally strong with her arm bar. That's how she's able to get away with it, you know?
Let me ask you.
She is brutally strong, but her distractions, she is going way beyond MMA, her distractions. What is she going to actually be able to do to perform when it comes to this fight?
I've been saying for a long time, she's not the best female anyways. In my opinion, Sarah McMahon is.
Yes.
Olympic silver medalist in wrestling, and she stands and throws.
And throws good.
She's hot.
I think she can, I think that's the future champion right there for some time to come.
Yeah, she's nasty. She's and she can match her strength-wise, and she's not, Ronda's not going to run over there and take Sarah down. You know, she's not.
Exactly.
Had Sarah not been injured, she would have moved up there and possibly fought Ronda, but she got injured. She's out right now.
I'm not really so sure that Sarah McMahon would have her way with Ronda like everybody thinks.
Oh, yeah, well, she's going to shut Ronda's takedowns down.
Is she?
Absolutely, she is. You're talking, she's world class wrestling. I mean, she's no joke.
Yeah, but Ronda's the same level, but at whatever level that you
Ronda,
want to put
Ronda's wrestling, Ronda's wrestling.
The same level in judo.
Listen to me, Ronda's wrestling is garbage if you look at it from a wrestling perspective.
She throws head and arms.
You're not going to do that to an Olympic silver medalist in wrestling. She's head and arms, everybody.
That's also going to help with her defense.
Not when Sarah's not
punching
her in the face.
She's a one-trick pony distracted by everything else she's trying to achieve. Completely agree.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I don't see it. And her wrestling is garbage. Her takedowns are garbage. She's been able to rely on the judo. She bullies these girls down. I mean, Misha was a good high school wrestler. That's it.
There's a huge
difference in wrestling.
We saw wrestlers give Rick Hahn big problems.
Give who?
Rick Hahn.
Absolutely. Hahn has a hard time getting his takedowns in over there in that cage. He does a hard time. It's a big...
Yeah, but we're also talking about Michael Chandler, who is, you know, arguably the number four lightweight on the planet.
All right. How about when Rulon Gardner fought? There was zero takedowns there. He couldn't take Rulon down. Remember? And that dude was an Olympic gold medalist.
Rick Hahn?
No, I'm talking about when Gardner fought Rulon, when he fought over in Pride. What the hell was the Olympic gold medalist? He fought Fujita guy. He only fought one time.
Oh, Fujita?
Yeah. No, not Fujita. Fujita's the big egghead. No, but anyways, he couldn't take him down.
He's a big egghead.
Yeah. Oh, man. Don't you remember when Fujita's hit the knee right in the head by Coleman?
Yeah.
Hey, when do they start Screaming Glory? Tonight, right? It comes on here in a little bit?
A couple hours.
Nice.
And then
tomorrow, I agree, man. Ronda comes off as a cunt, man. I think that she puts a lot more time into her game than people think she does.
I agree. Oh, she's
she
sounds better
do
every
that
single time.
Because
she takes
she's
it
been,
as lightly as people think.
I agree.
She's been born and bred to do that because of her mother. But that doesn't mean that she's an all-around champion.
If everybody had a mom that could get you to be a fucking bronze medalist in the Olympics,
her mom
is
the shit. But that doesn't mean that she's going to be an all-around champion because she's focusing on, hey, I'm going to make this movie. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this.
Oh, no.
So many weeks before training.
She's still training. I guarantee you, 100%, she's still training her ass off.
100%. She's going to be better out there every
I'm
single
sure
time
she
we see her because she's
still
new in the game.
Been with Jessamyn Duke, and there's a lot of, yeah.
Yeah, she's still new to the game. I mean,
okay.
What is she now, three years in?
I tell you right now, Rhonda needs to work on that stand-up, period.
Absolutely.
Right?
That's
her
stand-up is
terrible.
But
okay, now
do you
that
guys see Misha? Is Misha stand up any better in honesty? No.
No.
Her elbows come up, her chin comes up, and she starts swinging them.
I don't know.
You're right about that.
Kat
Zingano. You know what?
Misha
you know
looked
what?
Really
right
good
about
on
that
feet against
Kat Zingano. But Rhonda keeps her fucking guard down, and if she fights against someone, they like fucking Holly fucking whatever her name is, you know, she's going to get knocked the fuck out.
You can't depend on one move, though. In MMA, you have to be all around.
We may never see that Holly girl.
You can rely
on
one
move.
And
she is depending on one move, and right now she's focusing on so many other things than her game, in my opinion.
Like an armbar. An armbar.
We may never see that Holly girl. We may never see that Holly girl.
Let's go film a fucking movie. Who cares?
Yeah. Hey, as long as I got my armbar, I don't need anything else. I just need to get down and get her in that armbar.
Okay, look. Everybody's we're all talking about this fight. If Rhonda comes out victorious again with any finish, period, decision, or whatever.
I'm going to be mad as fuck.
No. What's
I'll just
next
tell you that much.
For Misha Tate. Does she go to Invicta?
She's heading to 125 after she loses this fight. I'm telling you right now. They can open up that division and create a champion right there at 125, another pretty champion.
Exactly.
Hey,
exactly.
I brought this
she's
up.
Got that
I brought this up with Clinch.
She's gonna
stay. I brought this up to Clinch
the
here, Skippy. Hey, you know what the 115-pound division is going to be known as? That's going to be the pretty division. There's, you know, in the 135, there's a couple. Now, there's a lot more prettier girls at 115 pounds that they'll promote now. You watch.
I'm going to agree with you on that as a woman because Misha Tate's got that ass. She's got those boobs, and she will stay on the cover.
Look at you, huh?
100% baby.
At least you're coming out of the closet on
I'm 100%. I can agree with you on that.
Yeah.
Get her.
Okay. Which is good.
But Misha Tate will win that fight. I will say that, though.
Send her to 25. Send Misha to 25 and let her fight Juliana Pena for the title down there.
9.5 weeks on her?
Fight who?
Huh?
Send Misha
hold
to...
Sorry, hold on.
Send Misha to 20... Oh.
Go ahead, Anthony.
Ready?
What?
I said, Misha, go down. I told Juliana before she won that 35-pound title at Tough, I go, watch, you're going to head down to 25 after this fight, and then you're going to see Misha soon. And I go, you guys are all buddies now, but watch. And that's a fight that Dana can make is make those two girls at 125 pounds.
So let me tell you, let me ask you this, Anthony.
What do you think, Pena and Misha? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, I think that'd be.
Yeah, but
that would be a good one.
If Misha beats Rhonda and grabs the title, you think they could make an announcement saying we're opening up with 125 class? She's gonna fight Juliana Pena for the title and vacate the 135.
They're not gonna vacate it. But Dana's gonna never vacate. What's that other girl? She's probably the best 25 pounder in the country, but nobody knows about her. She's like 14-1. Jessica Eye, isn't it?
Yeah.
That girl's bad.
Yeah.
So between her and Misha, Juliana Pena, I mean, there's three stud right there. You know,
when did Pena decide to go to bantam or the flyweight?
Man, Pena's a beast. Pena's a beast.
Can she make 125?
She only weighs 136 pounds.
125.
She weighs 136.
I thought she hated 125, Jeff. What did she say?
She does. She hates.
She may hate it, but at some point you have to put work in to do it. That's your job. If you want it, put the fucking work in. As simple as that.
Sometimes you can't. Sometimes going too far down is a detriment to your fighting ability.
She walked with 136 pounds right now.
Good point.
Where she should be anyways.
Okay, so, Hamlet, you know, you're saying she should be at 125, both of them, correct?
Who, at Pena?
Yeah.
I think she'll eventually end up. I think she'll end up there, and her and Misha will fight down the road, and I think it'd be awesome.
I agree. And it'll be a battle.
Who wins? Who wins, Hamlet?
I've trained with both, and I don't know.
Coach,
I don't know.
Give an honest opinion.
I don't know.
Honest opinion.
It's hard. It's a coin toss.
Okay.
I mean,
hey, fuck that. Hamlet, answer this. Who has better potential to be a true long-term champion?
Oh, Juliana learns. She's a fucking sponge, bro. The biggest thing that I worry about Misha, because I've known her, I mean, she fought her very first fight on my show as an amateur. The thing I worry about her the most, she's starting to take more and more damage in her fights, and you can only take so many of those fights in your life. You know what I'm saying?
I think she lets shit get it. Like, she lets it get in her head. That's a problem.
No. I'm talking about physical damage. She's taking a lot of damage in her fights. Her cat fight, the one before that with Julie Kedzie, bro. When she fought Sarah freaking, what was the other girl who used to be Strikeforce champion? White as hell. When she took the first Kaufman fight, and I mean, she's taking a lot of damage, and those fights take time off your career, you know.
Could have finished that Zingano fight in the first round if she would have quit fucking with the bullshit takedowns. She was boxing her up so tough and had her rocked a few times, and instead of just keeping boxing her up, she like goes in for a takedown.
Yep.
And then like lets her recover, and I was just like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, she could have ended that fight easy in the first 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
She's a better corner.
But it was just you hear Caraway in the background yelling, take her down, take her down.
Corner cut to the fight.
Yeah.
Well, that did. Yeah, for sure it did.
I think the corner cut to the fight.
He was paying her back for his Japan fight.
Yeah, cruise, Brian, just cruise.
Yeah, she cost him the Japan fight, so he was paying her back.
Okay, hey, now, let me ask you guys that, okay? We've seen this recently in quite a few fights where we're seeing people, including Johnny Hendricks, saying, you know, the last round, man, I got locked up on a fucking cruise. How fucking bad is that to have that coming from your corner?
That's bad
bullshit.
Cornering. That's playing the side of safety,
bullshit,
man.
Bullshit, bad cornering.
If it's even 60-40, you probably lost that round, in my opinion. That's how I corner.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Man, you got to play the safe. If you're gonna play it safe, play on the side of the safety of not letting those judges with that pin screw you.
Well,
half the time, like, do you listen to your corner, or do you go out there and do you fight like you fucking want to fight? That's it. In my opinion.
Yeah, but you've got
to listen to your corner here.
Yeah, you got to listen to your corner because sometimes at a point your emotions have taken over and it's no longer the training muscle memory that your coaches have conditioned you to listen to numbers and combos and understand positioning. You know, so I think when it comes to a corner, first of all, you have a corner who's spot on, who knows his shit. But I don't think you should ever have your corner tell you, you got this. I think your corner should always be telling you to go for the victory.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're right with that, 100%.
I'll tell you what,
I've seen so many times where guys listen to their corner and they win when they weren't going to, or they don't listen to their corner and they lose when they shouldn't have. Seen it so many times. I'm sure Anthony has too.
I've seen Cody McKenzie up fighting Flat Top up in Seattle one time. I had him up 3-1 going into the fifth, and he lost, and he, I don't even know if he won that fifth or not, but he lost the decision. It wasn't even close. So you just never know.
He wasn't going to win there.
Wow.
He wasn't going to win this.
Come on now.
See, that's, you know.
Have you talked to Cody since he got in the brawl at the hotel?
Yeah, I have talked to him. That was all false. That was all made up.
Was it true that he was smoking cigarettes at least? Please tell me, as a fat, lazy Jewish Mexican who smokes two packs a day, I was looking up to him as an idol.
Well, dude,
that might be.
If it's not nailed to the table, Cody will take it. Put it that way. Fuck. That motherfucker, last time we were down in Spokane, man, I'm like, he shows up to practice early. I'm thinking he's going to drill with us. Hell no. He goes across the street to the bars, comes back like 45 minutes later, drunk as skunk, and starts grappling with us, dude. That fucker's crazy.
Yes, I agree with that one.
And still nobody whoops his ass. That motherfucker's a monster, bro. I love him, man. He's awesome.
Let's call him a beast.
That's the one guy, man, we watched come up through this, you know, sport and gotten, you know, more recognition and got recognized. He has not changed one bit, has he? Clinch, has he changed at all,
Zero.
Cody?
Zero. He has not changed at all. He's completely the same. Nobody else can say that. No one else can say that. So far.
Yeah.
Now, but see, that's so funny because, you know, we all have friends who we've watched progress and get into different stages in their careers. And we all hear the story about how many of the guys, when they hit Zuffa, they completely change. You know,
absolutely.
Whether it's a one-fight deal or a five-fight deal, we hear it so much. I mean, you guys, obviously, we all know, and especially you, Hamlet, you guys know a dozen people who fight in the UFC, and you can't honestly say that about all of them. Isn't that fucking sad?
Most of them haven't. I mean, I've lost some buddies over the last couple of years because I'm like, dude, I don't give a fuck who you are, brother. Just because you get paid to fight there, right? That's your job. I really don't care.
You got paid to rep there.
Good for you. That's all I got to say. Good for you.
Dude, yeah, I can see Anthony Hamlin showing up at, like, the bars. I ref UFC, buy me a beer.
Yeah, I know, huh? Hey, I did use it to get us in the after party, though, the first time I ref the UFC, because there was a long-ass line and, like, a $25 cover in Seattle, and I'm like, I was one of the refs, and they got me and all my boys in, so I'm good with that. I dropped that name quick.
Good move.
Well, you deserved it after reffing that one fight. Holy shit. Damn.
So hopefully, Jeff, when I get down to Florida, I start wrestling more down there.
Oh, bro.
Down there, at least down in Florida, they use their own commission people. They don't use the fucking UFC guys, you know, only.
No, and hey,
yeah.
You're going up there by Dean Tool's place, right? Over there in Pensacola.
I'm going to be in Panama City, which is about 2 hours from there, and I'm right. They call it Lower Alabama, basically. They call it L.A. because I'm right there on the Alabama, Florida.
Yeah.
Florida, so. I love it.
You hooked up with some buddies out there as well. We got some friends, especially for this show. But yeah, dude, there's plenty of work for you, man. Reffing down there, Jesus, they throw so many pro and amateur events down there.
Yeah, I'm gonna stay away from fighters. Though. I don't want to. I know I'll end up with a couple, but I really, when I open up my new gym down there, I don't want to teach fighters at all. I strictly want to teach, you know, just students and
jiu-jitsu. Oh, you want people to pay their dues, don't you?
Hey, let's be honest, Hamlet. You went down there and saw JP's place, dude. He's gotten quite consistent, and he's not doing fighters a fight team per se anymore. You know, he's focused on the kids and the moms and the dads.
Absolutely.
Make a living. Called making a living.
Well, dude,
don't do it on fighters.
And here, dude, the sick thing is the school's got him doing classes.
Holy shit. Go ahead, Skip.
Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Skip.
I was just going to say the high school and the junior high have him teaching BJJ classes there now once a week.
I know, that's awesome.
Cool.
Anti-bullying classes basically is what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Muy importante. Muy importante. Muy importante.
Mark Pavlich has issued a statement in which he says, "My relentlessness and ruthlessness going into 2014 is on a whole other level, and I will pay bounty hunters to search for that belt and bring it back to where it belongs in the MFC," in reference to the 185-pound title that Elvis Mutapsich has taken hostage, apparently.
What are you doing?
Mark goes on to talk about how he will send bounty hunters to the ends of the earth to find this belt. And he will not rest until it is right and back in its rightful possession, in his rightful possession.
What happened with the belt? Explain. I don't know what's going on.
So Mutapsich won the title, then he left the organization, signed with World Series of Fighting. But
okay.
In all the championship contracts, Pavlich has a stipulation where you have to give the title back.
You
don't get to keep it. And so Mark wants the title back so he can give it to Sam Alvey, but Mutapsich won't give it back, and Mark's like, "I'm going to send some bounty hunters to get that motherfucker back."
What's Chris's – they call him the West Side Strangler. He was over in King of the Cage. What's his name? Chris – do you know what I'm talking about? He used to be in King of the Cage, and he knocked out Antonio McKee with a head kick. Yeah, well, he was King of the Cage used to make you give your belt back. He had to defend it so many times. I think he was the one, he carved his name in the back of the belt in the inside. So when he went to go give it back, they're like, "All right, fuck it, you can have it."
Now,
hey, your girl right here, she's from Indiana, isn't she? Where's she out of?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
What part of Indiana?
I am from Indiana, yes, sir.
What part?
What do you want to talk about?
Hey, do they have Hook and Shoot out there anymore? Or did they get rid of that promotion? I haven't heard anything about those guys in a long time.
Which one?
Bluegrass.
What are you wearing?
Jeff Osborne's show.
Yeah, they're still around.
Bluegrass is amazing.
Okay, they are still around?
Yeah, Hook and Shoot's still around. Not at the level they were. It's basically all amateur now. But.
Okay. I never got my belt from those fuckers, so I got into a big argument with Jeff.
He's got some crazy belts.
Well, yeah. I won the old – they had the old WWE style big-ass belts. Well, then that was when American Top Team was funding the promotion. And I just beat Curran, and I was about ready to fight Hermes Franca, and they're like, "Oh, we'll give you a new belt at the next one." Well, I lost my title. I never got a belt. They let me take pictures with it, and I never got a belt. Fucking gay is that?
What the fuck?
So Jeff and I got into a big argument about it. I had to block him on Facebook because he's being a weirdo.
Sounds about right.
He's a nice guy, but he's very frugal with his money, put it that way.
Well, you know, I was just looking the other day. We saw, I think it was God Bloody Elbow shirt on one of those companies posted, the timeline of the lineage of all the different leagues that have shown up in the MMA world, upper echelon leagues, I guess you could probably say, but it's funny to see the influx, you know, in the 2000s and above, but it's really interesting when you look at that list to see who was in it to back in the day, you know, before it was really popular, you know. Obviously, Shooto, Pancrase, the first really two events of any recognition, you know, back in the 90s. 89, actually, I think it was for Shooto, was their first event. But, out of all the leagues that have come and gone, let me ask you, Bluegrass, we'll start with you. What league is gone today that you thought was a great product and you'd like to see back?
The concept of the IFL was the shit for me. I don't know why at the time, because I'm a huge Roy Nelson fan, so I think it probably had something to do with him. But, you know, I thought the IFL was the shit. I thought they were going to be around for a long time.
Absolutely.
Dude, wasn't it crazy how they hyped the Rothwell-Nelson action even so far back then? Like, you know, I mean, that was what, like 2003, 2004? Shit, I don't even know.
Dude, there were some real good fights in the IFL, though. Real good fucking fights.
Well, dude, I remember when Horodetsky was like, you just thought he was a fucking world beater.
I was in Atlantic City when he fought for the first time out there, and dude, he was barely 18 years old, man. He couldn't. They were buying him bar. He was inside the bar, and they were just buying him drinks left and right, dude. It was crazy.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, do you remember what?
Awesome,
yeah,
that was,
do you remember what Ryan Schultz did to him?
And
yeah, but Ryan Schultz should still be in prison for what he did to him, though. Do you remember that? He handcuffed him and then just beat his face in. Do you remember
that Kordecki?
Oh, that was brutal. That was scary brutal. You know.
Different world, actually. Just in a few years, I'll be honest. I was always a huge fan of Podog. I thought they had a killer product, you know, especially tied to the gambling site. They were some of the first to really be out there promoting, you know, good betting along with Fife. And let's be honest, they had a who's fucking who of MMA fight for them.
They used a lot of lower-level guys even, too, if you notice that.
Gary, would you credit IFL more with your MMA addiction or, like, Zuffa from back then?
I would probably say Zuffa, but I thought the IFL was a comparable product just because it was like a new concept, man. Like, you know, it was something a little extra, and I don't know. But I thought it would be around forever. I mean, I thought it'd still be here today.
I wonder what they did wrong. Were they just spending too much money, you think?
Yep, that's what I think.
I think that's the downfall of everybody.
yeah, we had a show here in Washington come out of the gates just smoking guns and.
They just went over in the state.
They haven't been around since then, you know. So, but yeah, because IFL, I mean, they had a great thing going. I mean, the crowds were good when they fought up here in Seattle. It was sold out, 6,500 people in the building. It was crazy packed. In fact, Kordesky had that fight with Shad Leary. Remember that, Jeff?
It was the best fight, one of the best fights ever.
The bell wasn't mic'd, and it was fucking just they're banging the bell, and nobody could hear it. And the fight probably went on for an extra 20 seconds because it was just nuts in that place.
Yep, it was so loud. Great. So did you rep that show, did you?
What's that?
Did you rep the IFL at all?
Yeah, I rep the IFL too, yeah. That's cool.
Now, you know, talking about all the leagues and stuff out there, you know, what do you guys think about some of the leagues that developed outside the States, you know, like M1, you know, obviously we are all big fans of Pride, but, you know, there were some good leagues outside Icon Sports. It's still going today, and they put most of their events overseas, even though I think the company's truly based in America. But, you know, you've got Canadian Caged Rage, you know, Caged Warrior Fighting Championships, another one that's done a lot, KFW, overseas, what do you guys think are some of the better leagues going today, in your opinions?
Well, obviously, Pancrase is still up there, you know. Those guys are... Anybody who's become Pink King of Pancrase...
Why didn't they go with the name Bitch Slap? Skippy's been wanting to ask you, why didn't you just go with the name Bitch Slap?
That's fucked up.
What's the difference between an open palm strike and a bitch slap?
Me? I got bitch slapped. I got bitch slapped and palm strikes. It all good. at least I was man enough to go in the room. Ivan was scared to walk in the room, the little bitch.
But just be honest, right? Just be honest. You know, that night, you know, did you at all care that he was the world champ? I mean, or were you just
not
like,
I didn't get I didn't give two rats ass about him. I didn't give a fuck who he was. And he's like, we're fucking you guys up tomorrow. I'm like, yeah, you want to bet on that? Watch this. And then we were still at that point, we were still fighting closed hand on our feet, open hand on the ground to the head. And I told Matt Hume and Frank Shamrock, I'm telling you guys right now, I'm getting disqualified because I'm fucking punching him in the face, dude, when we hit the ground. And they're like, I was the very first fight, close fist on the ground. I changed the laws that day because they're like, let's just let him punch then. So, I didn't care. I would have got disqualified. I did not care. I was going to take out on him for the coach bitch slapping me like that. Fuck it.
I'm just glad you're here. It's a good step for you to finally say that.
Oh, I don't care. No, the one I got bitch slapped for was behind by Jeff fucking Munson, that faggot. He slapped me from behind over. It's a long story. And Holman and I, we went outside to fight everything at Holman's house. It got crazy, bro. Holman's looking around the yard picking up stuff because he knows I'll hit him in the head with a rock if I have to. I don't care.
Yeah, a week later, if it has to be.
What's that?
Even if it's a week later, you'll come back with a rock and hit him in the head.
Dude, yeah, if I'm giving up 80 pounds to a monster like that, yeah, absolutely. Jeff's brilliant when it comes to book smarts, but he's not a smart guy sometimes. I mean, he's crazy. He's fucking crazy. When I very first wrestled with that dude, when I just moved to Washington, we were on the national team together. He ties up with me, and I tossed him, boop, and he's like, whoa, what was that? That dummy comes bite back, and I did it again to him, and he's like, what was that you did? I'm like, bro, I just did to you twice, and you can't figure out what I just did to you?
Well,
but you don't
want
that guy
something.
Getting a hold of you.
He must have learned something.
He's a monster. Oh yeah, he's strong as fuck, man. It's ridiculous.
How much longer do you think?
I heard Eddie Blackburn took him out
with a croquet mouth.
That's all right. Who cares? When you street fight, there's no rules. It's not like you have to. We have to face each other. It's fucking survival.
It's
other than stabbing you or shooting you. Yeah. Oh yeah. What
How much longer do you think Munson's gonna do this, man? I mean,
he can barely walk right now.
Funny.
He can barely. When they were taping his hands a couple of weeks ago at that show, he couldn't even sit in a chair. He has to kind of kneel down and kind of lean over with his hands up like that so they can tape his hands. He can't even sit up anymore, bro. He's fucked.
He looked bad walking out. He looked really hurt. He looked
stiff.
Like an old man.
Yeah, he looked really, really old, dude.
And in the cage, he didn't look much younger, unfortunately. Usually he just looks old, gets in there, and whoops, you know, looks young again, but he did not look young again. He looked tired. For everybody, in about 2 minutes, we'll be off live air, but the show's still going. I want everyone to get out there and follow Bluegrass MMA. Great guys to have on the show. I really appreciate it. Thank you, Kari. Thank you, Kane. Thank you, everybody, Hamlet, Clinch, Lepaki, Chris, everybody who's been on the show tonight. Thank you to all my great sponsors, Clock Tower Pup, MMA Madhouse, VisionSmokes.com, Clinch Custom Mouthguards at GetClinch.com, Greg down there at Ink Tank. I can't wait. Tuesday, more work. Jax Media, Go Fight Live TV, Revolver MMA, and RearNakedSmoke.net. Okay, got all that wrapped up. So, we can go back to talking.
He's talking about Jeff. Hey, who's that guy that just beat 300 Hayes over there? Where would they go to Poland? Who was that guy? In Temecula Valley.
Virgil Zwicker.
Yeah, one of my guys that trains with me here at my gym over here, he said he used to train with that guy, and he just read about him beating 300. He goes, man, that dude used to not be very good, but he must be decent now.
Yeah, Virgil, I think he's 9-0 now.
No. He's like 9-3, 9-4. He's definitely not 9-0.
Off the top of my head. Are you sure?
Oh, yeah.
I like how Sherdog has Henry Cejudo as a prospect to watch. This guy, he beats up fucking cans of tomato paste.
He's only, what, 23 or 4 years
when
old?
When he feels like it's important enough for him to show up to a fight. Let's don't forget that.
Oh, he's no-showed?
This is the fucking idiot that no-showed weigh-ins at Legacy.
Wow.
Wow. Because he wasn't going to make weight as an Olympian. Wasn't going to make weight, so he just no-showed the event.
Well, for what weight, 125?
Yeah.
Wow. Because he's made 21. I couldn't imagine him not making 25.
He's a lot bigger than he was then, though.
Yeah, you know, that's something else. You know, look, Cormier wrestled, like, in the 180s in college. He ain't making 180 anymore.
No.
Cormier is not even willing to fight outside of the United States because he doesn't think he can make weight somewhere else. That's fucking bullshit.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Yeah, he said he wouldn't fight Alexander Gustafsson outside of the U.S. because it would be too hard for him to make weight because he wouldn't know what the food was like there. And I'm like, dude, you're going to probably be eating spinach whether you're in fucking Kazakhstan, Norway, or fucking Los Angeles if you're trying to get to 205. Good luck, Bozo.
They you know they have him coming out as a favorite in this fight with Rashad?
He's going to get fucking worked.
Dude, he's got throw hands, man. He ain't going to be able to stand and bang with Rashad. We know Rashad's got a joke chin sometimes, but we also know Cormier ain't got the power to punch the button.
Well, Rashad's going to be faster. That's going to be the big difference in this fight.
Rashad's going to outbox
Rashad's not slouch in grappling either.
No, but Rashad's fast. He's really quick.
It's just, you know, what is Cormier really going to do? Like, I probably would consider a fight with Cormier if the price was right. I mean, he's going to push me up against the cage, probably try to, like, pull my feet out from underneath me, and then lay on top of me.
As long as you're getting money, Rob, anybody can beat you, so you might as well just take the money. So Cormier, you know, or Skippy, it doesn't matter. Just take the money.
Yeah, well, Skippy, hey, I mean, I have to be careful not to hurt him.
You guys are Oregon people. Now tell us, how did Darcy get back into commission, OEC?
The
hell did that happen?
Dude,
okay, fuck that, dude. I don't give a shit. Fuck you, Brad Darcy, you criminal piece of crap. I don't care if they fucking found you innocent or not because your buddies run the state police, which you work for as our athletic commission. Don't give me this bullshit that you deposited an $8,000 check in your account by accident. You know, and oops, sorry that I fucking told the state I had $30,000 in income, but left it in my personal fucking office in my personal briefcase and forgot to put them in the account. Bullshit. Bull fucking shit. You are the
devil. What did he do?
Dude, he was scandaling money, and how in the fuck he got away with letting promoters pay to have their fighters weigh in on Thursday? Dude, bullshit.
Broken nose.
Dude, bullshit. Yeah, it's complete bullshit. I have somebody that we don't think so highly of anymore who was actually inside the commission hearings. And, I mean, a lot of crooked shit went on with that piece of crap. And that guy is destroyed. He has destroyed the sport so much, he has banned weigh-ins from bars now. And I'll tell you why. It's because a promoter came from the Midwest to put on a pro fucking AM show in our state. Hasn't been done all year, but what, maybe one time? And he decided to come here and pay all the stupid fees, rent out a 5,000-seat facility, bring in fighters throughout the state, fly in fighters from Minnesota to put on a great pro-AM card in Oregon. And then they find out that he made a deal with the city to have an event catered and security hired and everything paid for and worked through the city, which left very little room for the commission other than the medical staff, the inspectors, and no say in their hotels, no say in where the after or the weigh-ins would be. Oh, they got mad and said, fuck that, we're not promoting a minor showing up to a bar, even though it's a bar restaurant in this state until 9 p.m. As long as it is a function or kids have food in front of them, they can be in a bar till 9 p.m. So they figured, oh, we're just not going to condone that, and now they're banning bar weigh-ins after, what, 10 years of doing it? Fucking dipshit ass.
Now, question to that. The FCFF is held at a bar. How's that going to work?
Well, that's the thing is, that guy...
That won't have a problem.
That's like, okay, But let me give you an example. And Bluegrass, you're going to love this. Okay, FCFF, it's Keeney and Chael Sonnen on this league. And it's in Portland. It's obviously got a historic name with some of the biggest UFC stars fought there as kids and coming up. It's a long, historic thing. They throw an event with 20 fights. They get 7 inspectors. They get 3 judges. They get to hire their own ring and timekeeper. And they get 1 referee. Desert Brawl, owned by JT Taylor, even a longer-running organization in the state who does not get along with the commission, he puts on an event with 9 fights, and he gets 11 inspectors. He gets 4 judges in case one gets sick, 2 doctors in case one gets sick. They provide a timekeeper for $300 for 1 event, and they give him 3 referees.
Oh. Ah, damn. I've always said,
well,
the refs don't make much
down there. They don't make much down there. When I was reffing down there, you only got 250 flat. I know that. I don't know if it's changed, but back then it was, and that was, you had to pay your own travel out of that.
That's because you weren't on the end, bro.
Now, what were you saying, Gary?
Well, I've always said that the regulation is going to make or break this sport moving forward. And shit like that, man, it's like, The commission should be about athlete safety, consumer concerns, and fairness for all parties involved. But when you throw politics into it, like is it the case in every fucking state, you just open it up to the liability of shitbags fucking everything up.
Should the athletic commissioner position be a voted on position by the state every 4 years or 2?
I don't know.
And half the people don't know about the sport.
Okay, what about having every commission having a 3-person review panel and to weigh in on the public side and making them professionals, fighters?
Well, look at us here in Washington.
I don't think this whole bullshit. Okay, go ahead, Hamlet.
Our commission, the people that we work for down at the state, they don't know rat's ass about anything about MMA. I mean, they're approving fights. They have to approve fights and disapprove fights, and they're clueless. They don't know shit. They don't know nothing. They could. I'll give you an example. Marcel Garcia can say he's going to come over here and fight. He's got, what, 2 MMA fights? And if he was going to fight Dennis Hallman, who's got 60-something fights, they would say that that's not a fair fight because Hallman has 60-something fights. Is that a fair fight to you guys, Marcel and Dennis Hallman?
Yeah.
Absolutely it is, because it's going to be a grappling match, you know what I mean? And that's Marcel's world, you know what I mean? And that's a fair fight. But they don't know shit about, you know, they're clueless, man. But whenever the UFC comes into town, they fucking approve anything. I mean, I reffed one of their Strikeforce fights that I was – told beforehand, hey, keep an eye on this fight. This is a mismatch. That's the shit that goes on sometimes. I'm like, if this is a fucking mismatch, then why are you sending this guy out there? You're putting me in a no-win situation as a referee. A, I stop the fight early to protect this guy, and then I get booed out of the building and look like an asshole. Or I let the guy take the ass whooping that he signed up for, and then I look like an asshole. You know what I mean? It's a no-win situation in there.
Damn.
But they don't know what they're doing. I mean, I'm going to trial with those guys. What's that?
You can't catch a break. You just can't catch a break, bro.
Oh, I don't care. I signed up for it. I'll do it again tomorrow. I mean, I'm going to court with those guys starting in January so I can keep repping up here in Washington, because they're trying to keep me from it, and I'm not going to just sit back and let them do it. Welcome.
Good.
You got to, man. You got to fight. They screw guys over. I mean, give me a break. They got guys in their office that are committing major infractions. They put 2 referees on a professional Kate Sport. They put 2 referees on there that were not licensed. Their license was expired, and they put 2 of them out there on the same event.
Please tell me how it does happen.
Because the people that are in charge are fucking clueless. They don't know what the fuck they're doing. And when I brought it up, And I'll tell you right now, because I was one of the people, because I renewed my license, and everything was done a week prior. I was done. I checked with them, and they said, yep, you're good to go. And then I went and reffed, and then I had to deal with my other stuff legally. And then I was like, they're like, no, we didn't approve the license. All your licenses are pending investigation of your other stuff. It's on hold. I'm like, wait a minute. So you sent me out there to ref, but you're not – my license was expired. How the fuck can you do that? I'm like, that's bullshit. And then the other ref, his license expired 3 months prior at the event that was before that. And I brought it up to their bosses, and guess what they did? They just brushed it right under the carpet like it didn't happen. So,
gangster.
All good.
I'm betting right about now Bluegrass is like Ohio MMA, man. Their commission's decent.
that's fucked up.
Well, here's how screwed up our stuff up is here. So they're in charge of cosmetology along with amateur MMA now. They just took that over, and they're ruining that for everybody, along with professional MMA. If you were to ref a show as an amateur MMA, so you took the course, you paid your however much it is. I don't even know how much it is anymore. What is it, Jeff? $50 now? What's the license?
$60,
right? Okay. So you pay your $60, and you take a class, and you take this class that's taught by somebody who's teaching you amateur MMA. Now you're licensed. But if you happen to ref an amateur show and not licensed, right now they're trying to suspend, I won't say his name, for 2 years because he reffed an amateur event not licensed. But yet if you're a cosmetology person that you do not have a license, you're out there cutting people's hair, you get a $500 fine and that's it. So they're all over the place. They don't know what the hell they're doing, dude. They're just fucking, they're clueless. So.
Damn. Cosmetology and MMA, that's what I'm talking about.
Well, cosmetology is where all their money.
Your nails are cut appropriately. And I mean, well, I bet, you know, one thing I do know about Washington is I don't see a lot of eyes getting poked and cuts or anything because they got those fucking fingernails nice and trimmed and buffed
manic
out from your cosmetology. They're like,
well,
hey,
think about it, man.
Part of your final test at the cosmetology school is you need to come to the fights and trim everybody's nails up for them.
Yeah, but if you think about it, I mean, there's like 200, you know, roughly between fighters and ref probably that are licensed a year and what, probably a couple thousand cosmetology people a year, you know, paying $500. So that's where their money's at. But why the hell are those people governing our sport when they don't know shit about it? So.
And yeah. Well, fuck, dude. I guess on that note, let's call this show a fucking wrap because this was a great show tonight, man. I got to thank everybody for kicking back tonight and doing the show. Definitely, Gary, man, any weekend you're bored or you want to come on here and bullshit with us, obviously you see we got just a plethora of great guests from, you know, Kane, yourself, Lafaki, Chris, Hamlet, Jeff. It's just a blast.
It's a who's who,
Gary,
man. A who's who.
Gary, before we close this out, man, hey, dude, what is, like, you know, out here we kind of, like, always, like, we look at Spokane and we're kind of, like, shocked by the amount of, like, success they're having there. For your part of the country, what town is it or what little region in that part?
Pigeon Forge, Tennessee is, it's right before you get to Gatlinburg, which is, like, the redneck vacation destination, but they're throwing shows down there and they're selling out and there's no like gyms there. I mean, everybody's 2-3 hours away and it's the craziest thing I've ever seen. And I sit back and I look at the guys putting on the show and it's just pure genius. Like nobody would, it's in a convention center off the beaten path. And you know, there's like 2,500 people there and you're like, what the fuck? How's this even happen?
Nice.
That sounds like something I'd see on that Justified TV show or some shit, Pigeon Forge.
yeah, that's a bad representation of Kentucky.
What part of Tennessee is that, north, south, east? What is it?
It's in middle Tennessee, really. It's about an hour from Knoxville. So you're about 3 hours from Nashville, you know, six hours from Memphis. Paris?
How far from Paris?
From Paris? Kentucky?
Yeah, Tennessee.
Probably like 3.5 hours.
All right.
Like, what do you know about Paris, Kentucky?
I don't know much about Paris, Kentucky, but I know that one of my good buddies is a former PBR bull rider. He grew up in Paris, Tennessee. So, you know, you hear all these weird stories about Tennessee.
Now, Chattanooga's down south, right?
Yeah, Chattanooga's like down by the Georgia border.
I've been there before for wrestling tournaments way back in the day, so.
Yeah, there's no MMA in Chattanooga, really.
Well, yeah, nice.
Well, shit, everybody, man, you guys know how we always do it at the end of the show. Give a big shout-out to everybody and thank everybody. You know, definitely, Gary, anytime you want to come on, you know, our door is always open, man. I love working with your company, Bluegrass MMA folks. Get out there and check them out. You know, you guys will find a lot of the results, you know, that we get from their the Ohio Valley region, especially from them. If we can't make events, they're always helping us out. So you guys can always check them out. Check us out for links to them. Everybody, Eagle.
Osprey, Peaches.
Here we go. I'm not the day, I'm not the sprite. Here we go. It's only been sacrificed. Here we go.